A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Welcome back to A Word for Today, or if you're a visitor for the first time, welcome to A Word for Today. It's Friday the 17th of July, and we're in Joshua 13. We're considering the most important thing in existence, that is to say, real discipleship. And the reason it is the most important thing in existence is because it is the sign of real salvation. And because it is so precious, it's something that is often counterfeited. There are so many forms of false discipleship around. Satan claps his hands when he sees false disciples. He is always trying to make false disciples, people who are a little bit religious, go to church a little bit, who think they are Christians. That's the greatest inoculation against true discipleship there can be. But we've seen that false discipleship is the most dangerous thing in existence. It's like jumping out of an aircraft with a parachute that actually turns out not to be a parachute. False discipleship is the deadliest thing in existence. And Joshua 13 is addressing this topic by showing us what real discipleship is. He is only introducing it in this part of chapter 13. We're going to be seeing more as we continue through the remainder of the book of Joshua. But it's a great introduction. And what we've seen is that in verses 6 and 7, God has defined his part in the ongoing process of building God's church. And he has then expressed for the first time to Joshua the part of the church. So let me now read to you the second half of verse 6 and verse 7 of Joshua 13. God is speaking. I myself will drive them out. He's referring to all the people that yet remain in the land of Canaan. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. So what we're seeing there is God defining his role, which is to drive out from before the people of Israel, the inhabitants of the land. He has done that once and for all in the cross of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw yesterday, didn't we? 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's what God has done. In the Lord Jesus Christ, he has destroyed the works of the devil. He has destroyed the sin of his people. And he has, in effect, paid for that sin in the cross and so cleansed his people and enabled them, through the gifting of his perfect righteousness, to be reconciled to their heavenly Father. It's a wonderful saving work of God. It's God's work alone that does that. And so God has described that as in a way that looks forward to the cross in that first part that I read out. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. But then with these two imperatives, God refers back to Joshua and through Joshua to the people with these commands. Only allot the land, that means to divide by lot, the means of God providentially ordaining the division of the land, but they are to do it. To Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Verse 7, now therefore divide this land, just saying the same thing really, assign or distribute this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. He's saying this is how you are to get on with being real disciples. You are to commit your lives to the land that I have cleared for you. We have moved from dispossession to dwelling. And we finished by seeing yesterday that the word inheritance is presented there as an empowering word. What will empower the hardship of true and real discipleship? And the word is inheritance. Inheritance is a huge theme of part two, as I've already mentioned. It's only mentioned once in part one, the very end of part one, chapter 11, verse 23. And then it's mentioned a further 42 times in these subsequent chapters. And here are the first two times in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 13. So, this dwelling is empowered by knowing it's an inheritance from God. What is this inheritance? Well, you'll notice firstly that it's described as I have commanded you. It's an inheritance that God has commanded. It's saying that this inheritance carries the divine authority of God. The inheritance, what one receives from God, is a rightful and legitimate claim to have because it has been ordained by God. It possesses, therefore, a transcendent and eternal legitimacy that confers upon this inheritance an enduring character, because it's something that is underpinned by God's eternal commitment. It's legitimized, we might say, by divine decree. The inheritance transcends every claim the world around us might make. This inheritance that God gives to his people, twice referred to in these verses and linked to real discipleship, is, we might say, an eternal divine gift that smashes into our world and that cannot be taken away. It's the most precious thing there is. Every Christian salvation is an inheritance ordained by God. I remember years ago when I worked in central London, I used to go regularly to some wonderful Bible studies at St. Helens. So I used to have to travel in the city, usually in the early hours of the morning. And you would pass many office blocks going up in the city, because I noticed that these companies, the land that the buildings are on is worth many times more than the cost of any building on the land. And so when new companies come in, they're very happy to knock down a building that may have just been recently refurbished and be in excellent state, because they want their building on the land. And so there are continually buildings going up and down. And this particular one was going up, and I'd walk past it every week. And what struck me was not only the speed with which it went up, but how far it went down. As you looked over the edge, you could see it went down and down and down and down. There'd be people at the bottom digging further down. And what it showed me was that the foundations of these buildings was awesome. They didn't just build them on a sort of little bed of concrete. They built them on really, really solid foundations that seemed to go as far down as the building went up. And that's a picture, you know, of the inheritance of God. It has a depth that is infinite. You see, there is a wrong view of thinking about salvation. It goes a bit like this. You think, well, here I am. I've heard the gospel. I've been witnessed to by a Christian friend. I've gone to a Bible study, and I've committed my life to Christ. I've become a Christian. I have, in effect, gained salvation. God has rewarded my faith by deciding to give me salvation. And so my salvation rests on me. It is because I have done this that now my salvation has come. Now, that seems quite a reasonable view, perhaps, to the young Christian, because it does seem to describe the experience of the young Christian. But it is not how the Bible describes it. And if one really looks at one's experience of becoming a Christian, it's not actually what one experiences when one becomes a Christian. Let me read to you how the Bible describes becoming a Christian. It says this. It's Psalm 103, verse 17. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. It's saying the steadfast love of the Lord. Steadfast love is the chesed, is the original word in the Hebrew. It's described as the most important word in the Old Testament because it describes the covenant love of God for his people that saves his people. And it says that that saving love of God is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, on those who are, in effect, not casual daytime disciples, but those who are real disciples. But what is the from everlasting to everlasting? Is that a poetical flourish? No, it's not. We'll see this tomorrow when we come back to us. Do be sure to follow tomorrow's podcast and find out. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your steadfast love. Thank you that it is from everlasting to everlasting. Please would we value it as we should. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.